VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And good afternoon. Welcome to Crosstalk here on VCY America. Ladies and gentlemen, race or ethnicity is an issue that is constantly in the news. I mean, we hear a lot about diversity, but have you noticed that the more we talk about critical race theory or diversity or Black Lives Matter or white privilege and all these related issues, the more we talk about them, the more divided we become? There's an interesting quote I saw from this past weekend from Charles Barkley. Don't agree with everything this man says or does, but he's a former NBA star. And he indicated that politicians intentionally are fueling the racial divide in order to keep their grasp on money and power, and that the system is designed to foster hatred and to scramble the middle class. At the outset of this program today, we want to remind you what Scripture says in Acts 17, verse 26, "And hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation." Well, addressing this issue with us today here on Crosstalk, we welcome back Pastor Curtis McMiller, pastor of Heritage Baptist Church, Kenosha, Wisconsin. He was ordained to the ministry in 1997, started Heritage Baptist in 2001. He's a very passionate soul winner, calls upon the body of Christ to be the church. He is also the speaker on the program Answer the Call. It's a local broadcast that airs on WVCY Radio on Saturday evenings. And Pastor McMiller, thank you so much for joining us here.
Thanks for having me.
Pastor, you just heard the quote there from Charles Barkley, his comment that politicians intentionally fueling racial division. You agree or disagree with that?
Well, first of all, let me say once again, thanks for having me on the program. I really appreciate this opportunity. But as we think in terms of Charles Barkley, I believe, and like yourself, I don't always agree with Mr. Barkley, but in this particular case, I agree with him 100%. It's obviously clear that many in our political arena have been used as tools to promote division among the cultures, among the various groups of people, to, I believe, maintain that status of influence and policy making. And so Charles Barkley, he's spot on.
We, last Monday night, you and I were on television together and conducted a program on similar topics and so forth. And we finished and said, you know, we need to bring this to our radio audience as well that goes around the country here, because there are so many issues that need to be addressed. And we're seeing them pop up more and more in our newspapers and in headlines across the nation. We're hearing them on the nightly news. And we'll give just a few instances, one of which we mentioned last Monday on television. And that is how a Minnesota theater has canceled their production of Cinderella because there were too many white cast members taking place. Again, that's something that's fueling the flames here, fanning the flames here for racial divide across the country.
Yeah, I remember the conversation we had about that. I just, you know, Jim, I think this is, you know, it's absolutely ridiculous that you would take something as simple as, you know, this fictitious individual, and you know, use it as a means to divide people. You know, whether it's you know, whether it's Snow White, whether it's, you know, it pretty soon it'll be Sleeping Beauty. Pretty soon it'll be you know, other fictitious you know, types of cartoons or what mm-hmm. have you. And unfortunately, it seems to me like, again, this is being used to further divide our country, and they're using just very juvenile items that are out there to further stoke this division.
I want to give a few more examples of some of the matters that are going on with this, too. For instance, we are seeing the whole aspect of now sheet music is being condemned. Matter of fact, we have here from WND.com, sheet music condemned as a slap at students of color. The London Telegraph reporting professors said the classical repertoire taught at Oxford, which spans works by Mozart and Beethoven, focuses too much on white European music from the slave period. They also talk about The issues, the University of Oxford has taken Black Lives Movement to heart and as such is considering a plan to scrap sheet music notation and the classical music that was scored upon. Sheet music is now considered too colonial. Beethoven and Mozart and music curriculums in general are believed to have complicity in white supremacy. Are we making, it sounds like we're creating racism.
Yeah. I mean, now again, as we've come to this point where they're condemning classical music and utilizing it or trying to utilize it as a tool to promote racism, it's foolish. It's absolutely mm-hmm. ridiculous. Classical music has really, anyone that is a student of classical music will agree that when you listen to it, it has a way of soothing the soul. It has a way of bringing peace and contentment and comfort mm-hmm. To a person who's going through, you know, various challenges in life. And, you know, for a group of people to try to identify this as, again, something that is as a representation of slavery, because, again, it goes back that far. Well, you know, music is music, you know, and many people have received blessings from this particular category of music, mm-hmm. classical music. And I think it's utterly ridiculous that they would even come. I mean, what are they going to say next? The keys on the piano because it's black and one, it's the, you know, other set are white, that even the piano itself is a tool used to divide our country. And I think this is part of the restructuring of our nation mm-hmm. and the, you know, turning our nation upside down. And this is the one of the avenues that people are using.
Pastor Curtis McMiller with us here today in Crosstalk, and we're discussing race, God's design, and man's distortion. And folks, we're giving you some of that distortion here a little bit. The current events going on in the news, Phyllis Schlafly Eagles just put out information as well. And we're giving you some cases in point, ladies and gentlemen. Bill Gates supporting math is racist narrative to the tune of $1 million. It's a group called the Pathway to Equitable Instruction, working to fix alleged signs of white supremacy in mathematics. The group has officials and professors from the University of California, with a special shout out to Bill Melinda Gates Foundation for their generous financial support. A Pathway to Equitable Instruction guide decries as white supremacy culture the focus on getting the right answer in math problems. And they talk about that contends that adolescents need to be able to make decisions regarding their well-being and their bodies. But the article goes on to say, while many educators have long advocated for sound math instruction to counter any inequity among minority students, Pathway debunks this thinking as either-or thinking that allows the defensiveness of Western mathematics to prevail. They recommend instead that they call it ethnomathematics. The guide says students may recognize ways in which the communities of color engage in mathematics and problems solving in their everyday lives, or challenge the way that math is used to uphold capitalistic, imperialistic, and racist views. I mean, here we are even trying to create racial hatred by, I'm confident that this is going on in some of the school districts.
Well,
this thought.
Yeah. You know, it's again, as we think in terms of mathematics, I thought it was about educating, not causing individuals to be dumbed down. If you are looking at mathematics as a tool, again, of sparking racism, you know, the goal, again, as we think in terms of mathematics, is to increase individuals' knowledge of arithmetic, division. I mean, obviously, in all of this is included in mathematics. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the Bill Gates organization, I mean, you would think that they would promote education, they would promote mathematics, they would promote science and all of these things, not, you know, categorize these forms of education as a means of racism. I mean, how ridiculous. We see a tool used to dumb down the black culture and provide them with a sense of servitude towards those that are ultra wealthy. And so, yeah, again, absolutely ridiculous.
Okay. And now just one further point, and that is that this is coming out not just in our secular culture here today, but it's invading evangelical Christianity as well. And we have a clip here from Tim Keller that we'd like to play for you, in which he talks about if you have white skin, that you're involved in injustice. Let's listen to what he had to say.
who's a pastor, was talking to a Norwegian man who had just moved into his community and went to his church. And at one point, he heard the pastor talking about the fact that we are all complicit in creating this narrative that black people are dangerous, etc. And so we're complicit in this. Afterwards, the Norwegian came up and said, no, I'm Norwegian. No, had nothing to do with it. And my pastor friend said, studies have pretty much proven that if you have white skin, it's worth $1 million over a lifetime over somebody who doesn't have white skin. And that's because of historical forces that have come about. And at this point, you know, you could go at it several ways. One, as I mentioned, if you have that asset of white skin right now, historical asset, then you actually have to say, I didn't deserve this. And also, to some degree, I'm the product of, I'm standing on the shoulders of other people who got that through injustice. So the Bible actually says, yes, you are involved in injustice. And even if you didn't actually do it, therefore you have a responsibility, not just to say, well, you know, maybe if I get around to it, maybe we could do something about the poor people out there. No, you're part of the problem.
We're going to interrupt him right there because, Pastor, he indicates that if you have white skin, you're involved in injustice, and that the Bible says you're involved in injustice, does it?
No, the Bible doesn't say that at all. And this individual, I know as I was with you for the Monday night In Focus program, and just once again listening to this individual speak, it shows you how anyone can come out and try to cite individuals. One of the things he says that white people, even pastors, are complicit in their comments concerning the black culture and having this attitude towards the black race and how they're complicit in stoking this racial flames. And I'm wondering, I said, well, what white pastors is he referring to? This individual is coming up with his own conclusions. He's in a forum where he's being televised and he's spreading this jargon across our nation to send the wrong message. The Bible says absolutely nothing about the color of one's skin being used as a form of a certain status. Complexion, God nowhere has condoned or condemned anyone based on the color of their skin. So his conclusion is absolutely, it's bogus.
And yet he's using the authority of God's word to substantiate his claim. I mean, he's using the persona of that, even though he doesn't have chapter and verse in which he's doing, that seeks to prove his wrong conclusions from Scripture itself.
Well, the Bible warns about people like this individual. The Bible talks about these individuals who are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of life, for Satan himself also is found to be an agent of light, but obviously he's the devil, and Satan uses individuals to promote his agenda, and we see this obviously happening in the church.
Pastor Curtis McMiller, our guest here today on Crosstalk. A quick break here, and when we come back, we're going to be talking about the decay of black culture, and Pastor McMiller has developed a series of points that he believes has contributed to this decay in the culture. Back in a minute. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and creation researcher with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, are animals more and more intelligent as they march up the evolutionary tree?
Chris, let's get this straight. Evolution did not happen. There is no valid evolutionary tree. There are no higher animals. It stands to reason in evolution that the apes would be the most intelligent of the animals, only bested by mankind. While it is true that apes have a larger brain than do, say, toads, there are a lot of animals thought to be lower on the evolutionary tree which are quite intelligent. A number of insects can do things that would astound you. Now even a fish has been discovered that can use tools in digging its burrow. Chris, there is no hierarchy of the animals leading to man. Each of the animals were created separately after their kind, each with unique abilities. Chris, it makes so much sense when you go back to Genesis for your starting point.
You can find us on the web at www.icr.org.
We're talking about race today, God's design and man's distortion. And folks, as we go further and further through time, we see the distortion of man intensifying in this aspect of race and fanning the flames, trying to give even more division than ever before. I mean, we talk about the more things we add, we talk about diversity, and we see all that's happening with critical race theory and diversity, Black Lives Matter, and the more we talk about all of these things, the worse it gets. And friends, what are the solutions to that? We're going to be talking about this segment as well. Pastor Curtis McMiller is with us today. He is pastor of Heritage Baptist Church, Kenosha, Wisconsin. Pastor, I know that you're very concerned about the decay of the Black culture today, and you have given thought to this as to what is contributing to this decay. Share from your heart, if you would.
Yes, so just based on my observation and just some of the research I've been able to conduct over the years, I've come up with four, I believe, various aspects that have been detrimental to the Black culture, and I want to mention these real quickly. That I mentioned these also on the In Focus program, and so first of all, I touched on the Black entertainment industry. I believe that because of the material that has been brought into the home via television, via radio, also now via cell phone, this has been used to destroy the Black family, the Black culture from the inside out.
Black entertainment television?
Yes, WBET. That's one of the various television channels that have been used to divide the Black culture, the Black family. And now, why would I say that? I'm sure people are asking, well, why would you specifically point out this particular television station? Well, anyone that, and by the way, I look at things through the lens of God's Word.
Amen.
And from that vantage point, the Bible makes it very clear of the need not to set any wicked thing before our eyes. And just if you spend any time looking at the BET station, the most of the programming, whether it has to do with men dressed up like women, whether it has to do with ladies scantily dressed, whether it has to do with the videos, music videos that they air on those stations, whether it has to do with the inappropriate relationships. You have more relationships where you have someone who's not even married and yet they're living together. In my line of work, we call that shacking up. God is against that. God makes it perfectly clear. Marriage, God is for marriage. He says that that whoremongers and adulterers, He will judge. And this is prominent in the Black culture. And so I see that going on as these various channels would promote this. And then also we can talk about various news outlets that many in the Black culture are fed, whether it's CNN, whether it's MSNBC. A lot of these people that are spewing out information because they're catering or they're pandering to their audience, a lot of them are saying things that you as a viewer, you don't get the opportunity to come back and say, wait a minute, what you just said is just not true. And so we have in the Black culture people that are caught up into what they see. And God tells us, man looks on the outward appearance, God looks at the heart. And that's true. People go by what they see rather than the facts that ought to be given. And so that is one area as we think in terms of the what's destroying the Black culture.
Black entertainment industry being one of those things that is destroying Black culture. You've got another point.
Yes. So the second one has to do with the Democrat Party.
There's going to be a lot of people putting question mark. What are you saying there, Pastor?
Well, the Democrat Party, they have been very instrumental in destroying the Black family, the nucleus family. Let me just read a quote here from Frederick Douglass. Frederick Douglass made this statement. He says, "For the present, the best representative of the slavery party in politics is the Democrat Party." Now, these were his words. He made this statement in 1859. And many in the Black community, they've heard of Frederick Douglass, you know, in our history and those things. And even back then, he was very critical. In fact, Frederick Douglass was a Republican. Now, let me just say that our conversation is such that I'm not saying that the Republicans are the savior for the black community, but it is a fact that the Republican Party, they were instrumental in destroying and defeating slavery. It wasn't the Democrats. In fact, the Democrat Party, the party itself in 1829, the Democrat Party fought hard against every major civil right initiative that had long history of discrimination. The Democrat Party, they defended slavery. They opposed Reconstruction. They were founders of the Ku Klux Klan, the KKK. They imposed segregation. They just perpetrated lynchings, and they fought hard against the Civil Rights Act in the 50s up to the 60s. This was the Democrat Party. And then we can go on. And as we look at the Democrat Party today, we can talk about Lyndon B. Johnson, his great war on poverty, and the initiatives that he put out, the policies that he put out in the black culture that have been proven to be detrimental to the black family. This thing of women having children out of wedlock. Lyndon Johnson put legislation saying that if you have a child, then we will pay for that child. We'll give you money for that child. But all of this is contingent on you removing the father out of the home. And from that point on, we are where we are today as we think of the black culture. It's, you know, back leading up to the 60s, 73% of the black homes had a mother and a father in them. Today, 23% of the black homes have a mother and a husband and a wife living in them. Now, why is that? It has to do with policies that have been implemented by the Democrat Party that has been used to divide and to destroy the black family. We can talk about policies on education. It seems like whenever anyone wants to speak in terms of voucher programs, the Democrats are quick to shut that down. They don't want to provide funding that would be used to help poor, underprivileged people to go to school of their choices that will help them. They want them to stay in the impoverished schools that they're in. So we can talk about the public school policies. We can talk about the welfare programs. We can talk about policies along the lines of policing in the black communities. You know, the highest crime ridden areas are in the black communities. Why is that? A lot of this is because we have young men committing crimes in those areas, and the police would like to step in and remedy this, but now there's legislation being written that says, you know, you can't touch them, you have to let them go. You're racial profiling, while the black culture continues to be one of the most heated areas as far as crimes is concerned in our day.
So we're told that we need to throw more money into this issue, that if it's due to the poor conditions, that therefore we need to give regular monthly income in order to, you know, change the black society around.
Well, you can throw money at it. And obviously in 2021, we see that money is not the solution. You know, you give more people that are put in a position where they cannot better themselves because of policies. You throw money at the situation, they'll take that money, and what will they do with it? They'll spend it on booze, they'll spend it on drugs, they'll spend it on you know, things that will not be helpful to them in the community, and not to mention the monies that has been designated for poor, impoverished areas. A lot of that money doesn't make it to the people that it was originally intended for. Some of those funds, they go to the boss politicians in those areas. I mean, you look at some of the politicians today in the that represent certain communities in Milwaukee, and you find out where do they live? They live in areas that is not impoverished. They live in areas where they can walk down their street at night and enjoy life, whereby that money should have gone to other areas. Money is not the solution.
Well, okay, so you've got a third area as well.
So the third one, this is a big one, the black liberal preachers. And in the in the black culture, obviously you're going to have obviously black churches. And from my observation, in a good portion of these churches where you have these liberal preachers, they have adopted the policies of the Democrats. These preachers have been bought and paid for. You would think that these preachers, you know, the God tells us what the role of a pastor is. And God reminds us that a pastor is supposed to preach on the sins of the people. He's supposed to stand up as a beacon of hope. He's supposed to preach truth. But nowadays in the black culture, they're not getting preaching along the lines of getting people right with God. They're getting preaching that says, you know, well, we need to support the Democrat Party because the Democrat Party, they are doing what they can to remedy the overflow of black people. And as a result, we need more Planned Parenthood organizations in our community. Mm. And, you know, this is a way to help do away with the overcrowding of blacks in our society, you know, and
that's so disturbing to hear, because we know Margaret Sanger, the founder of Planned Parenthood, was a racist. I mean, she was a eugenicist who wanted to exterminate. I mean, she called the black population human weeds.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, in the black culture, not too many blacks are familiar or are aware of who Margaret Sanger is. Mm. And then, of course, to identify her with Planned Parenthood, she's the mother of Planned Parenthood. They look at you like you're crazy. Listen, the Bible says this. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 11 and 12 says, "If thou forbear to deliver them that are drawn unto death, or those who are ready to be slain, if thou sayest, behold, I knew it not, does not he that ponder the heart consider it? And he that keepeth the soul, doth not he know it? And shall not he render to every man according to his works?" In other words, God is saying, if you know of a situation where you have a child or someone put in a position where they're ready to be murdered or killed, and you don't say anything about it, God says you are held accountable. This is the responsibility of the pastors. You would think that pastors all across our country would be marching, saying, away with Planned Parenthood, away with abortion on demand. But the black church is silent on this issue. Mm-hmm. Not only, and I'm talking about the black liberal churches, not only the abortion issue, but we have in black churches where churches now, black churches have embraced homosexuality. Mm-hmm. And God says this, God says in Leviticus 20:13, if a man also lie with a man as he lie with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination and they shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be up on them. That's what God's word said. God also says that which is crooked cannot be made straight. God he's laid it out in his word. But when you have liberal preachers that have embraced more of a political agenda rather than the word of God, is it any wonder that our black communities are in the shape that they are in? It used to be a time when the black preacher was the one that people would look up to, they would have hope in. But now it's not like that anymore.
Pastor Curtis McMiller with us here today on Crosstalk. We're going to find out what that fourth point is in all of this as well. And also, what does the Word of God have to say on these things? What is the solution? How do we get past where we are today? Back in a minute. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America.
Entertainment has become the draw to build churches and youth groups. Meanwhile, sound biblical teaching has fallen off the cliff. To many, it's all about numbers and little about the Bible. Play the Flute, a powerful DVD, addresses this issue head on. Play the Flute tells the story of one youth leader who would not give up, who would not surrender to the apathy taking over his new youth group.
The Lord Jesus is looking for followers who realize that they are sinners and need a Savior. These are his terms, and I can't change them.
From Rich Cristiano comes Play the Flute, a powerful story on DVD available from VCY America for a donation of $18 or more. And for a limited time, additional copies sent to the same address are available for a donation of just $15 more. Call 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Race, God's Design, and Man's Distortion, our topic today with Pastor Curtis McMiller. He is pastor of Heritage Baptist Church in Kenosha, Wisconsin. Also has a broadcast on our local station here called Answer the Call. And we will be giving you a point of contact for his church and phone number and website address, so be ready to jot that information down. Right now, the pastor is sharing from his heart today. He's concerned about the decay of Black culture in our society and has shared from his perspective what are those areas of contribution that have brought about this decay. From just to summarize what he said in that last segment, he talked about the Black entertainment industry. He talked about the Democratic Party doing that. And now also talking about Black liberal preachers. Before we move on to your fourth point in all of this, finish up here on the Black liberal preachers. And I'm confident that this perhaps stirs your heart more than any of them, because yes, these are people who are to be representative of the Word of God.
Yes. You're absolutely right. I'm more passionate about this particular point because, again, these are supposed to be God's men. Mm-hmm. These are supposed to be the examples that are set forth in the community. We are supposed to be the ones to whom the politicians tremble because we're preaching truth.
Yes.
But what we have now we have preachers that are trembling because they're being led by political agendas and by certain politicians. You know, Jeremiah said this in Jeremiah 23, verse 21 and 22. God speaking through his man says, I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my word, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. Jeremiah makes it plain that when a pastor stands in the pulpit, preaches the word of God, his goal is to turn people away from evil, is to turn them away from these things that are going to be detrimental to their existence as people. And then their responsibility is to draw them to Jesus Christ and let them know that the answer is found in Jesus. It's not found in government. It's not found in a political party. It's found in Jesus Christ. And Jesus, I tell you, I often mention to people, if Jesus came back today, they'd nail him to the cross again. They'd say, crucify him again. Why? Because he preaches the truth. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come unto the Father but by me.
Amen.
Period. And yet we have preachers today that are occupying pulpits. You would think that they would cry aloud. You would think that they would spare not. You would think they would lift up their voice like a trumpet and show the people their sins. But no, they want to have a big crowd. They want to be liked. And they want to be able to say that, well, we believe in what's going on. We need to get with this woke culture because of what's happened in the Black community. And we need to speak out. No, you need to preach truth. You need to get back to the Word of God. What is the answer? The answer is Jesus Christ and the Word of God.
Let's move on to that fourth point here, that the decline of Black culture.
And so the fourth point, obviously, is the Black activists. We have people in the Black culture who gravitates now, since the pastors are not doing their job, they're gravitating towards activism. They're reaching out to people, or they're listening to people in their community who sound like they are today's savior, that they have the answer, that they can fix the problem. And as a result of that, that community where you have Black activists at, before you know it, they promote them to a position in a political arena. And these Black activists now, they become politicians, and while their community is still in the shape that it's in, I see this going on in the Black culture, and as a result of this, not only these activists, they also end up joining with Black militant groups, and before you know it, these militant groups now have a foothold in these communities. And people are looking at them as help, when in essence they end up becoming a tool used to further the problem. Whether it's Black Lives Matters, whether it's Antifa, it doesn't matter. You can give it whatever name you want to give it. 10 years from now, it's going to be another name.
And now we've got sports heroes that are jumping into this too.
Right. Well, yeah. And why is that? Because sports heroes are joining this because they know that the Black culture, a lot of the Black culture, they get into sports, right? You know, sports has been traditionally used as a vehicle to deliver people out of poverty. You know, if you can get a sports scholarship, you can leave the area where you grew up in, you can make a lot of money, you can become something. And by the way, thank God for sports. Amen. That's a good thing. But when you decide you've made it and now you want to go back into the black community and say that we need to join in with kneeling and all of this and showing solidarity for the black community and this, that, and the other, what ends up happening, the people who thought highly favorable of you, before long, they're going to be disenfranchised by your actions. Say, I don't want to have anything to do with that sports figure. Mm-hmm. They should leave politics out of it.
So black activists is that fourth cause?
Yes. Yes. Black activism. Mm-hmm. And again, you know, people in the neighborhoods, you look at our neighborhoods, look at our shopping center, look at our school in Kenosha. When we had people come through as a result of the Jacob Blake situation, where did they go to tear things down? They went into the community where you had blacks living at, and you go in that community today and all you see are rudiments, or you see vacant buildings. You see buildings that were burnt out and now being leveled by bulldozers because of black activists that came and said that, you know, we want to speak up on behalf of Jacob Blake. And I say, you know what? If this is what black activism is all about, don't come to our city. Hmm. We don't need that.
Wow. Wow. Pastor, and the clock is moving quickly here today. What's the path forward? How do we get from where we are to what God's design is in this matter of getting along? I mean, and you know, we see the issues going on now with critical race theory and white privilege. These are things that are not discussed in Scripture itself. How do we get from where we are today? You've talked about what you see as being the demise, the decay of the black culture. How do we get on track?
Okay, well, let me say, first of all, God is no respecter of persons.
Amen.
It doesn't matter what color your skin is. It doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter how poor you grew up or how wealthy you grew up. In God's arena, God only sees two things. He sees someone who's lost, someone who's saved. He sees a Jew, Gentile. And the goal here, where do we start? It starts with the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter. You can throw money at these areas. You can have legislation put out concerning these communities. But until you get back to Jesus Christ, you're going to go in a vicious circle.
It's a matter of the heart.
It's a matter of the heart. The Bible says that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So we got to start with the heart. And how do we do that? Remember, if you were listening to the program, you saw the program the other day on In Focus, I said God does have a design for every person. God has a design. God created you for a person. God created you for a purpose. And that purpose, it starts at the foot of the cross. You have to be willing to give your heart, number one, to Jesus Christ. Trust him as your Savior. Realize your problem is not a skin problem. It's a sin problem. When you receive Christ as your Savior, the light comes on. Now, after you receive Christ as your Savior, he says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So now that whereby the person that you used to hate, the hate is no longer there. The person you were critical of, that critical attitude is no longer there. Now you have a desire to get the gospel to them. You want to see them in heaven. You don't want to see them in a place called hell. So we have to be willing to give our hearts to Jesus Christ.
Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, let me give out our phone number here. We're going to open lines here. Time is moving quickly. And if you have a question you'd like to ask, a brief comment, you may agree or disagree with the pastor, pick up your phone, call us at 800-733-9829. That's 1-800-733-9829. And friends, we'd like to mention Pastor Curtis McMiller is pastor of Heritage Baptist Church, located at 2313 17th Avenue in Kenosha. That's 2313 17th Avenue in Kenosha. Their website, heritagebaptistkenosha.com. heritagebaptistkenosha.com. And phone number, 262-654 4665. That's your point of contact. I can see we're not going to be able to get through all of the minutes are short here, but 262-654-4665. So let's go to your phone calls here today on Crosstalk. Again, write down the number. The lines are all packed, but as soon as you hear somebody hang up, that's your opportunity to get through at 800-733-9829. We're going to begin in Kenosha, Wisconsin, and Dave, you're on the air.
Yeah, Pastor McMiller, thank you for heeding the call, and I love what you had to share today. And if you feel directed, when Jesse Jackson came to town, I remember you told me the little story. You could maybe chime in on that, and if not, that's okay. So thank you for what you're doing.
Thank you, Dave. Is he part of the black activists that you take issue with?
Yeah, so, and thanks again, Dave, for calling. So when we had that situation in Kenosha, I personally was able to meet with Jesse Jackson there in front of one of the areas that had been completely demolished as a result of the Black Lives Matters that came to our town and tore up a lot of our city. I spoke with Jesse Jackson. I informed him how upset I was with what I saw, and Jesse Jackson completely pivoted from our conversation and moved in an arena where he threw out the names of blacks all across the country that had suffered at the hands of police officers. And I indicated to Mr. Jackson, you know, my Bible says that, you know, beware of those that wield the sword. When you break the law, when you resist arrest, there's always going to be consequences. And obviously Jesse Jackson was not too excited about our conversation. So
let's go to Annette, who is calling from Milwaukee. Hi, Annette, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you all doing?
Well, thank you.
Good. I'm calling in regards to, I can't go over all the comments, the statements that were made, mm-hmm. but a lot of them, what I don't like is that, first of all, I am a born again Christian, have been a born again strong Christian for many years, over 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
My concern is that what I don't like is when the whole black culture, the whole black race is thrown into a whole bowl of soup. Mm-hmm. That I don't like. And also, it appears like, see, this is a long conversation, but anyway, I'm going to keep it short. But it appears like so many negative things were said concerning the black race versus we have more good things going on in our culture and in our race, concerning our race, than the few things that this pastor is speaking of. So I totally disagree with a lot of it. As far as the kneeling with the sports, individuals have the right to kneel regarding in respect. That was not a disrespect to the flag. That was a disrespect to how black people are being treated, and they continue. So if that was not true, then things would not continue to go on that way. So
thank you, Annette. Thank you. I tell you what, we're up against a break, and I've given you more time than anybody here and any of the callers. We've got lines that are full, so I'm going to have him address the issues you've raised after the break, and then we'll move on to the next caller here as well. So thank you, Annette. Well, if there are more things, we'll have you follow up directly with the pastor. But folks, stay with us. We'll be back in 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. In February of 2021, the United States Navy put out a report entitled Extremism Stand Down. I had the report within 9 days of it being released because a friend of mine in military intelligence sent me the PDF. This document, which I'm sure has been made for other branches of the military, is all about the fact that the military will not be making promotions until they clean out the military from all of the extremists. As you read the document, you find out that by extremist, they mean, among other things, people that possess and live out the values of a Judeo-Christian worldview. People must not only accept, but embrace and even celebrate the LGBTQ agenda. The terms in this document are, well, open to interpretation. You can't attend a rally, financially support, post information online from anyone that's called an extremist. Would that be you? Would that be this radio network?
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Definitely need another hour of time. You busy tomorrow afternoon, Pastor? Annette had called in, and she had made reference to, you know, I disagree. You're just making these generalizations about the black culture, and they're not all that. There's a lot of good that's going on. Then she talked about some of the specifics, that, you know, regarding the kneeling and so forth. But I know we have a few minutes here, but address what's on your heart as it relates to Annette's phone call.
Well, I appreciate Annette's willingness to tune in and listen to the program. First of all, Annette, I too, obviously, am a born-again Christian. I have Christ as my Savior. But I do want to make comment about we're talking specifically about specific issues. As a whole, as we think in concert with the black culture, not every black individual is like what I mentioned and the things that I brought out, whether it's the black preacher, whether it's, you know, the entertainment industry. Annette, you will have to agree that our culture, you know, we have been sold a bill of goods. And as we think in terms, and that is by the media, by the political arena, the politicians. And as we look at it too, Annette, from the standpoint of kneeling, you know, Annette, this is America. This is my country. I served in the military. I love my nation. And, you know, they were kneeling, not Annette, because they loved America. They were kneeling because, again, they wanted to show their solidarity concerning the injustices of the black people, concerning the police officers. And Annette, you have to understand, when you resist arrest, there's going to be consequences. So I wish we had more time. We don't, but that's where we're at.
Yeah, and again, we'll be giving the contact information for the pastor at the close, and I know we're not going to get all the questions answered and concerns, but you'll have another point of contact to reach out. We're going next to Lisa in Arizona. Hi, Lisa. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. First of all, Pastor Curtis, thank you for your service. I appreciate it in the military. And I also wanted to thank you for everything you said. I totally disagree with the previous caller. I worked in Chicago at two major radio stations, and I saw all four of these items that you listed out. And I just want to applaud you for your courage and ask if you've written a book about it, because I want to get it and read it and pass it on. And I just really appreciate the courage and the stand you're taking, because it was terrible to see all of these four things when I went to work every day. And I was a news anchor. It was awful.
Pastor?
Thank you so much for your encouragement. And, you know, the information that I brought out, obviously, too, I've observed. And, you know, it is awful. It's bad. It's and the people that have observed this as well, many like yourself, they would like to speak out. They would like to tell the truth. And those who are in denial of this, you know, what's going on in the black community, if they were to be honest, they would speak up, too. So thank you so much for those words of encouragement.
No book yet, though, at this point.
Not at this point.
But thank you, Lisa.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Bye-bye now.
Bye.
Lewis is next in Waukesha, Wisconsin. You're on the air, Lewis.
Hi. Thank you, guys, for your time. So my problem is about, you know, I agree with the pastor about, like, you know, it's a sin. You know, that Black Lives Matter, whatever, like, you know, the color thing is just a sin. Because You know, this is nowhere in the Bible. It's not allowed. You know, like a pastor just, you know, preaching stuff, you know, like about the color, which there's not no such thing in the Bible. Mm-hmm. So, you know, people have to know the truth. You know, no matter what color you are, Jesus loves you.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
Thank you, Lewis. Let's go to Bernadine next. Hi, Bernadine. You're on the air.
Okay. Hi. I want to just make a quick comment about what the pastor said. I think Jesus, when Jesus was here, his disciples wanted him to come in and remove Rome rule over them. But Jesus said, "I came to save."
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And once people understand the fact that the salvation is the change of a life, the change of a nation, we learn to respect each other. We learn to love one another. We learn to help. Hatred is removed when the love of Christ is there. And until hatred is removed in our society, then there can be no change, because the love of the Lord is not in us. and we can't see light because hate is of the devil. It's not of the Lord.
Thank you, Bernadine.
So, what we really need, we need to go back to our love for the Lord. We need to go back to wanting to be Christ-like, live a life that Christ lived, and all the social disturbances, all the evil that it can prevail, because the more of the love of Christ that's in our environment will emulate it to those who don't have yet. Will everybody get it? No, but you'll have less of the drama. Amen. In our society.
Thank you, Bernadine. I'm out of time here, but it's a heart change, and that's what she's really getting at here.
Yes. Yeah. It's very important that we receive Christ. You have to receive him, and again, when you receive him, the light comes on.
Thank you, Bernadine. Lincoln is calling from Richmond, Kentucky. You're on the air.
Hi, I'm calling from Richmond, Kentucky. I'm a longtime listener of your show, and I'm interested in your guest's view of how politics develops in the black community, how it's different than how it develops in the white community.
Well, so what we have, obviously, in the black community, we don't have individuals that are willing to better the community, you know, better our society. We have people who have taken advantage of the black community, and they said, look around, look at where we're at today. All of this is because of the white man, right? So they have a different mindset, whereby in the white culture, you have individuals that, and again, I'm looking at it from the standpoint of those that want to do right in the white culture, those that want, you know, to advance themselves and more than that, that want to live for the Lord. In that white community, they're for progress. In the black community, you would think they're for progress too, but you know, it's just different.
Pastor, we're going to have to leave it there. We're completely out of time. Thank you, Lincoln. I apologize to others that are holding here. Certainly, we're going to have a follow-up here talking about these issues. So important. But friends, again, Heritage Baptist Church, Pastor Curtis McMiller, our guest today. Let me give you a website. Let me also give you a phone number for further follow-up. That's heritagebaptistkenosha.com. heritagebaptistkenosha.com. Phone number 262-654-4665. Thank you, Pastor, for being with us.
You're welcome.
And friends, thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.